Come, Holy Ghost, we sing in the sequence of today's Mass. Come, Holy Ghost, bend the stubborn heart and will. Guide the steps that go astray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yesterday, we began our vigil for Pentecost by reading the story of Abraham, how God tested his obedience by telling him to offer in sacrifice his only son. And then after that, as we do at the vigil service, we stood up to pray, and I was struck by what I was asking for in the name of the church, beseeching the Holy Ghost to smash our wayward wills so that we may fulfill in everything God's righteous commands. The Latin is frangere, and it means just that, to break, to smash. Abraham was broken by God by that test, and thus was he worthy, that man of faith, to be the father of many peoples. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. He not only, as we sing gently in the sequence, bends the stubborn heart and will. Sometimes he'll come and he'll smash it so that it's not there anymore. And that he, having convicted us of sin, now may begin his second work, which is that of sanctification, to make us holy. He does this work in multiple ways, not only by sacraments such as confirmation, whereby he puts an indelible character or mark on the soul, making us to resemble our Lord, but even he goes after those whose identity or resemblance to Christ is long effaced by sin, and by actual graces, he draws them as much to recognize how unhappy they are, sitting in the filth of their sin, as to draw them to that other place, to that mountain where God's will is done, where there is peace. He draws souls to the confessional, and having absolved them, that is his work, then he so strengthens them that they will not have that grievous occasion of mortal sin to take them back there to that confessional again so quickly. How does the Holy Ghost work in us? There is no wasted effort as he goes about crushing our own wayward wills. You might say that he writes a program for each one of us according to our needs so differently. That is to say that for some of us, at some times, he comes like that tornado, the sound of a train, the mighty wind, and then there's fire, and there's the babble of tongues. And obviously God is there working. But this same Spirit of God often will whisper his will in order to bend the stubborn heart and will. And then you see he doesn't have to break it. One of my favorite Old Testament stories is in the book of Kings. It is a story of Elias, a poor prophet who had a hard time carrying out God's will and getting his own people to be good. God says to him in the third book of Kings, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passeth. and a great and strong wind before the Lord, overthrowing the mountains and breaking the rocks to pieces. And the Lord is not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. And the Lord is not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord is not in the fire. And after the fire, a whistling of gentle air. And when Elias heard it, he covered his face with his mantle, and behold, a voice unto him, the voice of God, barely a whisper. I thought of this. Funny how the mind makes connections. I thought of this the other day, coming across an article about a man who is celebrated today as a dog whisperer. It seems he has a special talent to train even the most hopeless hound to obey a whisper, a gesture that's barely perceptible. Dogs are a big part of our culture, aren't they? And training is certainly part of having a dog. But this gives rise to the thought that the very ruin of our culture is this, that people today treat dogs like children, but they refuse to treat children like dogs. What does that mean? That means that many married people refuse children and adopt pets instead, as though they could take their place. And these pets are trained. That's the joy of a dog, isn't it? And his delight for his master. Time and money is expended, and they're sent to school, and I understand sometimes even to graduate school. They're well, well trained, these animals. But not our children. We treat our children in America worse than we treat our dogs. They never learn self-control. They never learn the meaning of no, and that is why, from their very babyhood, they are all the time crying out, no. They are raised in a babel of tongues, in a frenzy of different opposing appetites, and they know no peace of heart because they do not know self-control. This does not mean, however, that the modern family is bereft of training. Oh no, far from that. It is a regular school of discipline and fairly strict. Who gets trained in the American family? Well, first of all, probably the dog. Got to have a dog. As I say, he's sent to classes. But certainly, do what you want with the dog, the husband, he gets trained. That's the job of the wife. And almost always, the mother is trained by the children who eventually become mother whisperers, but at the beginning it's a strong wind coming and a mighty noise. You see, our wills are perverse. They're bent out of shape by original sin before we even know what sin is and have the use of reason. We are already offending. And if we are not trained, then I will tell you this, we are training someone else. It's like influence. Either you are being Either you are influencing others, or you are yourself being influenced. Today, we want to put ourselves under the influence of God's Spirit. We want to let Him take us and train us to obey so that we can be what we ought to be. This is the only way to any kind of happiness. Ask any dog owner. He will tell you it is true. Where do we start? Where does God start with a soul? He starts with prayer. However, are we to listen to a whispered command unless we place ourselves in the same room as the Master? That's what prayer is. Unless we watch His face for expression, how can we obey His gestures? That's what prayer is. It is beholding the face of God. However, can we hear His most silent instructions unless we are first of all quiet? And that's what prayer is. It quiets us. What is prayer except for this? Learn the lesson of your pets. Adoration. The dog looks up to his master and is so happy just to be in his presence. I am not God. He made me, and not vice versa. Prayer, which puts me on my knees before God, reminds me daily of that truth, lest I forget. Reparation for all the times I do my will and I disobey the Master's voice. Think of some disobedient doggy slinking under the table. He knows he's done wrong. He knows his punishment is coming. Petition, very simply. The dog whisperer says every dog needs affection and training and food. The dog comes confidently to be taken care of for his needs. Should we be any less? And finally, thanks. The thanks not so much of a word or a gesture, but the thanks of a gratitude of a lifetime. A home which has some silence in it and some semblance of order is not yet necessarily peopled by those who are trained by God, but it is set up to be so. And the training sessions can start. Do you see then the positive utility, the gift of the family rosary? It is the first step in the most gentle way possible. We're not talking here about any violent breaking, just a gentle daily bending each evening for every member of a family to fulfill the promise of the Old Testament prophecy, erunt docibiles Dei. They shall be taught of God. Fathers shall be taught to grow up, to sanctify themselves, and to see to the sanctification of their family, to be mature, to be faithful to their own masculine nature by providing a steady hand at the realm, they themselves under God's control first. And mothers shall be taught to give up being the head of the family at last, and to reclaim their role as the heart, the Holy Ghost, God's spirit of love in the Christian home. And children will be taught, and they will be formed, and they will learn to obey. And they'll marvel, as will their parents, at this newfound power of self-control. And they will be as they are intended to be, the joy, not the blind pride, but the joy of their parents' hearts. And all of this, mind you, by a little whispered voice, by some small gesture you'd almost miss unless you watched closely. The gentleness of God, the Holy Ghost. It is strong enough to smash our stubbornness. And be sure that one day it will. But for the rest, it can take a wayward heart and slowly, so slowly bend it back to God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.